and blow you away? Do they knock you off balance? Does the world, your world, stop when you face trials or temptations or problems? Does it just stop? That's not what we should be like if we're mature. Do you get nervous? Do you get uptight? Do you grumble? Do you gripe? How do we handle these pressures? In my life as a Christian, I've seen so many times, and I've led a church, people in a congregation, problems kind of hit their life, and then they just seem to leave their faith somewhere in the background. They may have waxed lyrical about their faith in the past, but when something hits them personally, instead of persevering, they seem to opt out of their Christian life. Yeah, I can't come to church for a while because I've got this problem. I can't come along because I've got to sort this problem out. Actually, if you've got problems, the first place you'd be should be in the church, around people that will support you and pray for you. But I've seen so many times I'm taking a step back. I'm taking a step out. I'll come back when it's sorted. I can't praise God in the midst of my problem. And then you get to the kind of root of it. What's your problem? Well, my pet mouse died. Or something like that. I mean, I'm being serious, you know. I know some of our problems can be real biggies. You know, we prayed for Andrew this morning. You know, biggies. This week I was down in Cheriton, at Cheriton Baptist Church. A friend of ours passed away a couple of weeks ago, and they attended, him and his wife attended Cheriton Baptist Church. And we've been friends for some time. They were part of our church when we were up in Mason, when they lived in Mason, they moved down this way. Yeah, biggies. To me, as I read scripture, to be mature, it says persevere. Keep on going. Keep on going. That's how we show our maturity as Christians. James chapter 1 again, but verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those that love him." Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, or in trials, or in temptation, or in problems. Blessed. And if we're looking for one definition of being mature, it's persevere. 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 Whatever you're going through, and I don't know what you're going through at the moment and what problems you have in your own lives, but can I encourage you to persevere? That's what the Bible defines as, or one of the definitions of maturity. What else does the Bible talk about maturity or growth and growing, moving on to maturity? Well, second thing, as we see from the book of James, is a mature person is sensitive to people. James chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "Love your neighbour as yourself." And it goes on to say, if you're doing that, you're doing right. The Amplified Version puts it, "Unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit." So biblically, I see that as if you want to move on to maturity, we have to be sensitive to other people. We need to love other people. We don't just look at our own needs. We see other people's needs. We try and understand their hurts. We're not just interested in ourselves. We see immaturity, so much in children. I say we had our grandchildren around, and sometimes children, because they're immature, they're just interested in themselves, what they want. I want this, I want that. I want that toy, and when even they're not even playing with the toy, but they still want it when they see other people go for it. That's just a small picture of immaturity. Sometimes people are only interested in themselves. You meet with them, and within a couple of minutes, they're just talking about themselves. Immaturity. The Bible seems to infer here that being mature, or a mark of maturity, of being interested in others. That's how we show our maturity, not interested just in ourselves. James also goes on and actually is a bit more specific in chapter 2, verse 9. He says these words, and it's quite harsh. He says, but if you show favoritism, you sin. He says, don't even show favoritism. So if we're mature, we shouldn't show favoritism. What he's really saying is, don't be a snob. Don't look down on people. Don't judge people. Perhaps even by their appearance. Don't insult people. Don't exploit people. Don't belittle people. Just because people are different from us, don't show favouritism. How do we treat other people? How do we look at other people? The Bible says, love them. Don't show favouritism. See, that's one of the biblical definitions of maturity. A bit different from the world. Sometimes with the world, it's kind of dog eats dog, and we want to get higher and better and things like that. Matthew 25 says these words, more pointedly. He says, at that judgment, they will stand before the Lord and they'll say, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. We'll say, when, Lord? When do we do that? When were you sick? And when did we visit you? And when were you in prison? When were you thirsty? When did we give you a drink? And Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. It's interesting. It talks about judgment then in Matthew 25. And one of the things we'll be judged on is how we treat other people. It's not how many Bible verses we know, how many times we've been in church, it's how we treat other people. Love your neighbour. Have unselfish concern for others. And do things for their benefit. That's what the Bible says. And that's another I'll call mark. Mature is something to aspire to. If we want to grow, if we want to mature, that's how we should work it out. It's a challenge, isn't it? You know, we all want to grow. Yes, we want to grow in God. We want to be mature. But the Bible puts sometimes a different light on it. How else? What does this biblical maturity look like? James 3, verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man and able to keep his whole body in check. What James talks about is our tongue, our mouth. He goes on to say, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praising and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. What does biblical maturity look like? Managing our mouth. Managing, or the Bible uses the word tongue. Years ago, if you went, my mum, I'm talking about years ago, if I wasn't well, my mum would say, stick your tongue out. And she could tell from the tongue whether I was a bit unwell or not. Don't know how. And God does that spiritually to us, I think. We need to manage our tongue. We need to manage our mouth. And in James, you will know that he gives several illustrations of what the tongue can do if it's let loose. It says it can be like a rudder or a bit in a horse's mouth or a spark. You know, you control a horse by the bit in its mouth. You control a big boat by a small rudder. A whole fire can go in like wildfire with just beginning with a spark. We've seen that in California at the moment, you know, wildfires. But we need one of the biblical definitions, or one of the biblical looks, hallmarks of being mature, is managing our tongue, managing our mouth. I've heard people say, you know, I speak what's on my mind. Well, when you hear them speak, you think, well, they haven't got much on their mind. But people like that. It all comes out. But actually, that's biblical, that's immature. This is what Paul says to the church in Ephesus. He says these words: do not let any negative talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. Full stop. Do not let any negative talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others. Full stop. Challenge. I'm challenged by that. It's one of the hallmarks of maturity. It's a mark of maturity to control our tongue. A mature person manages his mouth. James 1, verse 26 says this. I find it, I'm talking to myself here. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. And his religion or his faith is worthless. If I gossip, does that mean my faith is worthless? If I spread rumours, if I lie, is it worthless? This is what the Word of God is saying. Let's speak the truth in love. Let not any negative talk come out of our mouth. It's a mark of maturity. That's what biblical maturity looks like. Let's say the things that build up others. Amen?
Amen.
A mature person masters his mouth. Fourthly, what does this biblical maturity look like? Well, I think it means we're peacemakers and not troublemakers. James chapter 4 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? He's talking about conflict. He carries on to say, you want something and you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, and you do not have because you do not ask God. Are we an argumentative person? Are we a contentious person? Do I get defensive easier? Do I hurt other people's feelings? Am I a peacemaker or a troublemaker? you know, the church in Corinth, Paul had a really go at them because he says, you're just a bunch of babies. You argue about everything. The Lord's Supper, gifts, leadership, everything. I believe being a peacemaker is a mark of maturity. And sometimes this conflict, this lack of being a peacemaker is often fueled by the fact that very often we are selfish. We want our own way. And the issue is really, I guess, is pride. It's ego, it's pride. And the other source of conflict or being troublemakers, in a sense, and this whole business of being peaceful or not, one of the problems is being judgmental. James 4 says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, one who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge? You know, we can all be guilty of judgmentism at times. I know I can be. And Joy will often say to me, you shouldn't judge people or situations because you don't know the whole story. And that's what that is saying. Only God knows the whole story. He says, don't judge people. Only God knows the whole story. And I can jump to conclusions. And I can sometimes judge people. And why shouldn't I judge people? One, because I'm not God. And when we judge people, in a sense, we're playing God. Secondly, only God has all the facts. I don't, and you don't. And thirdly, I don't know the motives behind it all. Only God knows all of that. So we don't have the right to judge. And being judgmental sometimes makes us, in a sense, troublemakers. But God wants us to be peacemakers. And fifthly and lastly, what does this biblical maturity look like? And this isn't exhaustive, but just 5 points we can see from the book of James. A mature person is patient and prayerful. James 5, verse 7 says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. As you know, we consider blessed those who persevere. And in verse 16 it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. As you read through the book of James, you will see he uses the word patient and prayer quite a few times. I think in chapter 5, patient is used 4 times and prayer used 7 times. So I would say the mark of a mature Christian is that they are patient and they are prayerful. James chapter 5 says this, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops. How patient he is for the fall and the spring rain. You too be patient. Stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. What James is saying here is to be mature, we need to be patient. We need to be trusting. We need to be in prayer. My son-in-law is a farmer, and I know he has to be patient. He's in fact doing it now. He's planting stuff now. He'll plant stuff next year. And then he has to wait. He has to wait till July and August for the harvest. He has to be patient. This is what James is saying here. See how the farmer waits. And we sometimes have to be patient. We have to be patient for God to answer prayer. We have to wait on God for him to do his work. And sometimes we only learn patience by actually waiting. when my children were younger, they had to learn the difference between no and not yet. When I used to say not yet, sometimes they viewed it as no, but it wasn't. It was not yet. And sometimes as Christians, when we pray about things with God, it's a not yet. It's not a no. It's just a not yet. And in that not yetting and not getting, straight away, sometimes God's working in our lives. James 5 verse 16 says these words, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced crops. Elijah was a patient man, and he says here that he was just like us. So what does biblical maturity look like? Well, one of the things is we should be prayerful, but we also should be patient. I have to confess, I'm not confessing here this morning, but I'm not always patient. I hate queues, especially supermarkets. Come up to the checkouts and I start looking for what is the shortest queue and who's got the least in their basket or their trolley, and I'll kind of work it out and get to one, and then they kind of open up a new one right next to me and everyone dashes for that, so I'm still at the back of the queue. I hate queues in traffic. They're only kind of, in a sense, small things, but spiritually sometimes we need to be patient. Because in the waiting, in the not getting straight away, God can be working in us. So, just to bring it to a conclusion, God wants us to grow. God, I believe, wants us to mature. He's given us all the ministry gifts. And one of the reasons, as I said earlier on, is so that we mature. So that we grow. And God wants that for all of us. And as you read the book of James, you just see there five, and there's probably more. You theologians will probably find more in there than me. But there's five things that, what does it look like biblically? What can we see that we can grow into? Well, how do we handle problems? Do we persevere? That's a hallmark. I encourage you to persevere. If you've got problems and trials at the moment, persevere. It'll help you grow. Are we sensitive to other people? Do we get concerned for their needs? As we were praying here this morning about the needs in the lands where Christians are persecuted. But that can come right down to our local church as well. How do we treat other people? Perhaps those not so fortunate as us, perhaps those not who have more needs than us. How do we manage our mouth? It's a biggie. Are you a troublemaker or a peacemaker? Are we patient? Are we prayerful? All these things. This isn't criticism by any means, not at all. Because I've confessed to a lot this morning, because I'm not there yet. But I want to grow. I want to move on. As you know, I was 70 not that long ago. And the Bible talks about our lifespan being 70 years. So I'm living on borrowed time now. But I still want to grow. I still want to move on. I really do. As I read these scriptures, I'm challenged. So yeah, there's room for me to grow there. There's room for me to grow there. There's a bit more maturity needed there. And you know, when we do that, I really believe our witness to the outside world improves and is better, more effective. Because Jesus told us, he didn't just tell us, well, he didn't in fact tell us to go witnessing. He said we will be witnesses. And how are we witnesses? When we grow to be more like Christ, when we mature in God, we become better witnesses. When I first became a Christian, or we finish here, when I first became a Christian, I used to work somewhere, and then I left and went away for about a year. And during that year, I became a Christian. So I left somewhere, worked somewhere when I wasn't a Christian. And I lived away and worked away for just over a year, and then got invited back to work for this company. And during that year, I became a Christian. And when I got back, they used to organise, it's quite a big company, used to always social things and things like that. And I heard on the grapevine that some men had arranged to go out for the night and go to a place that probably wasn't conducive to Christianity by any means. And they were inviting people and things like that. I just heard through the grapevine, I overheard a conversation like that, and then somebody came up to me and I said, oh, just out of interest, why didn't you invite me? They said, because we knew you wouldn't come, because you've changed. We've seen it in your lifestyle. Now, I was a very young Christian, but I'd probably moved up from 1 to 2 in the ladder in my maturity. And that's what I believe will affect the world around us. When we grow in our maturity, when we grow in God, we will be those witnesses, better witnesses that Jesus told us we will be. Yes, we can go witnessing, and of course we should. But the Bible actually talks about being witnesses. So I encourage you this morning, all of you, to pick up some of those things. Grow in God. Allow God to mature you. As he works in us, we then work it out. And we will be better witnesses for God. This church will be a better witness for God as we grow in God and grow in our maturity. So I encourage you. Just some pictures there. What does biblical maturity look like? Well, that's just 5 things I mentioned this morning. But I encourage you to grow into it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we bless you because in our Christian life, you don't leave us to find our own way. You don't leave us in a sense of orphans. You sent your Holy Spirit to us to be in us and work through us. You leave us your word to help us to grow in you. And I just pray, Lord, this morning, that your Holy Spirit will work in our lives and illuminate those things in your word that will challenge us, but also encourage us to grow in you. Lord, encourage us to mature in you, or become more mature in you. Lord, our lives want to glorify you. And Lord, sometimes we don't always live the life that you want us to live, but we've looked in your word this morning, Lord, and we've seen just some things, not everything, but just some things where you, in a sense, point the finger and say, hey, you could do better at that. You can improve on that. You could change on that point. You could grow in that point. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to do that. Lord, by your Spirit working in our lives, revealing those things to us, so that we become more mature. Lord, we thank you for all those gifts that you bestow upon your church to help us to be mature, more mature. Lord, help us to be receptive to those people and to your word as we grow, as we endeavour to grow in you. So bless us, Lord. Help us to change. Help us to move on in you and in your kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.